It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Yes, good afternoon. How you doing? Hope all is good today. 51551 for your text, ray@rte.ie for your emails. If you want to get in touch, we always love to hear from you, as you know. And look it, no denying, summer is coming to an end. And just to hammer it home, I was awake early this morning. And you know, sometimes you get that elusive 20 minutes before the house wakes up. So downstairs I went to PJ's, stuck the kettle on and was scrolling through Twitter and it popped up that today it's exactly 4 months to Christmas Day.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle.
Oh, dear God. And we're just trying to get organised for next week. One day at a time, please. Yeah, couldn't believe it. But anyway, we have a couple of great features today to help try and sort ourselves out for the coming weeks and months ahead, with Christmas just around the corner, sure. Paul Merriman from askpaul.ie Financial Advice. He is going to be in to talk about how to teach our children about money and when's a good time for them to open a bank account and should your teenager have a debit card, all that stuff. So if you have any questions for Paul, get them into us, ray@rte.ie. Also, I have no idea actually how I agreed to this and they must have got me at a weak moment, but the team talked me into bringing in my messy drawer into work today. I stuck it in the boot of the car last night. You know, every house has one. You know, the drawer which is filled with such diversity, shall we call it. It would give the middle aisle in Lidl a run for its money. So decluttering experts Kim and Lynn from Assorted Affair are going to wade through it. And they're also going to attempt us to help put some shape on our houses. I think, you know, in terms of going back to school, getting some shape on clothes and wardrobes and drawers and all that sort of thing. That's what they're really recommending. And they're going to give us some tips and hints as to how to do that. And I read an article with them recently where they actually said, in general, Irish people are big hoarders. And we were talking about that earlier upstairs. And somebody pointed out that there's not one house probably in the country who doesn't have a collection of gift bags. You know, you know those gift bags, you get a present and you go, oh, now, next time it's somebody's birthday, I'll have a nice bag. You don't need the wrapping paper. And sure, of course, you'd need to be having a birthday every week to try and get rid of the collection of them that are growing in the kitchen. And then I was saying the oldest thing I think I found in my house, or probably the oddest thing, is fair to say, during lockdown, I was cleaning out the drawer with the spice rack in it and I found a jar of mixed herbs and it had a best before date. I think it was like 2004, something daft like that. Anyway, I worked out that it meant I had carried that jar of mixed herbs with me from three different rented properties all the way to my own house. I don't even like mixed herbs. And I don't know. I mean, clearly in the packing up process, it just always got taken. I didn't want to throw them out. But anyway, so we'd love to know, what is the weirdest thing you found in your house that you didn't even know you had, maybe? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. And of course, if you do have any questions that you need or any advice from Kim and Lynn, get them into us there as well and we'll get them on to the girls. Yes, we saw this on Twitter earlier and it made us laugh. It describes a modern breakup very well. So this guy wrote, well, my ex just cancelled the Spotify premium I was using, which unfortunately means that I am now going to have to revoke her dad's access to my Disney Plus account. And like, that's kind of how it goes these days. Not only do you have to deal with heartache and tears and packing your bags and deciding who gets the dog on what day, now you've got to like change passwords and delete access to streaming services. That's just part of it now. And I suppose it can feel like revenge in one way, or if you're on the receiving end of it, being dumped, like it's that final knife in the heart. You sit down having cried all day and you've got your tub of Ben and Jerry's. You want to flick on Bridget Jones and then you can't even get on because he's cancelled the streaming service. And then you've got the whole other problem of having to create and remember a new password. There's actually an article in the Irish Daily Mail today which talks all about passwords and how our need for oversharing on social media is actually helping criminals to guess our passwords. So if you've used your birthday or your dog's name or your favourite food as your password, you might want to think about changing it, because what they're doing is they're going in, they're looking at our feeds and they're making pretty obvious guesses as to what we might have as our passwords and our logins. And the article also goes on to detail the top 10 most common passwords that people use. Do you know what the most popular three are? And I'm sure Paul Merriman is going to, you know, rant about this as usual, because it's apparently we're still doing it. The most popular one, 123456. Second most popular password, PASSWORD. And the third, Liverpool, which maybe is not as obvious. But yeah, anyway, I think we need to be a little more proactive with our passport security. Let's talk reality TV for a sec now, because as we know, Big Brother is coming back to our screens. It was the original and it was the best, wasn't it? And I think it's going to be a big hit because there are no gimmicks. There's nobody trying to snog anybody. There's nobody necessarily, you know, with ulterior motives. It's just big personalities in one place. Close the door and press play. But there are a couple of bizarre reality TV shows coming up. Channel 4 have commissioned a new show called Make Me Prime Minister. Basically, it follows 12 ordinary people as they compete to be elected alternative prime minister. So they have to do various tasks that challenge their leadership skills, their resilience, their integrity, and the potential alternative alternate PMs will be whittled down each week in a vote. But the fun part, Channel 4 have just revealed their first contestant, and it's Jackie Weaver. Do you remember her? She became a viral sensation last year. There was a local council meeting going on in the UK. I can't remember where it was, but it was on Zoom and all the local councillors were there and it got very heated. And Jackie Weaver had to silence some very angry men who were none too happy about it. Let's take a reminder.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
And you could even buy T-shirts with the slogan, "You have no authority, Jackie Weaver." And Jackie went on like she did hundreds of interviews with the British press, and she stayed absolutely calm throughout the whole thing. So I think she's a pretty good casting. Elsewhere over on Amazon, they have a new show coming out I was reading about next month, and it's based on footage from people's Ring security cameras. So, you know, the doorbell cameras and the home security ones that film when something moves in your house. Well, this show pulls together some of the best, the funniest, the sweetest clips sent in by users. So it's kind of a bit like a more modern version of Candid Camera. And it's all caught on people's own home tech. So, yeah, kind of like that one. I think I'd be into that. Like it. I'd be looking out for that. And then closer to home, Nicky Byrne has just announced, literally in the past hour, I think, maybe hour and a half, he is leaving Dancing with the Stars. He won't be presenting the next season as he is going to be on tour with Westlife. So I just had a quick look on his social media and he said he's done a big statement, lovely statement, actually. And he said, "So with all this in mind, I've had to make some tough decisions. And one of them is my future hosting Dancing with the Stars on RTE, a show I've loved from the very beginning. I have thoroughly enjoyed being part of this show, full of glitz and glamour. And of course, being a part of everyone's Sunday night winter TV viewing. It's been a brilliant 5 seasons since we launched in 2017, working with the best crew in the world. I have smiled and laughed my way through 59 shows to date. And what a journey it's been. I take away the greatest memories." And he goes on to thank all the people that he's worked with as well. So, yeah, he'll be a big loss, himself and Jen. They do such a great job together. But there you go. Wishing him and the lads, all the Westlife lads, all the best as they get back out on the road again. All right. Let me tell you about today's quiz. Yes, we are reeling in the ears after 4 o'clock and we have gathered up some songs, news reports, TV shows and movies, and we're going to get two people on air to play against each other. They can either choose a short clip, which will get 2 points, a long clip will get 1 point. So if you are brave enough to take part today, let me tell you about today's prize. All week we've been giving away a luxurious 2-night break in the Heritage Hotel. You and a guest will enjoy breakfast on each morning and dinner on one evening in the award-winning Blake's Restaurant. The Heritage is set in the pretty village of Killinard, County Leash, just over an hour's drive from Dublin. It is the perfect base for discovering Ireland's ancient East. Loads to do there. You can have a visit to Emo Court, you can do the trails in the Slieve Blooms, you can head to Kildare Village to do some retail, have some retail therapy, and if you don't even fancy leaving the hotel, there's loads there. Gorgeous spa, beautiful health club as well, and they've got their own cinema. So check them out, theheritage.com. And if you want to be in with a chance to play today, you've got to answer this question. What runaway relative of a kangaroo was found in County Tyrone after 2 days on the run? Let us know. 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. And we get two of you on air after 4 o'clock for a chance to win that prize. But we saw a story in the Wicklow People and we had to get it on air today because a Wicklow couple have contacted the Guinness Book of World Records after growing a huge, and when I say huge, it is a humongous potato plant. Ciara Devlin is on the line. Ciara, congratulations on your giant potato plant.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
So give us the lowdown. What's the story? You yourself, you're an avid gardener. You're in Wicklow. Clearly, you grow a lot of your own food.
Yeah, well, actually, it's my father started. My father was the avid gardener.
Okay.
Him and my husband together. It was my father who planted the potatoes back in middle of April. Sadly, he actually passed away before seeing how big it's grown. He passed away in May.
I'm sorry.
But my husband's been tending to all of his gardening and garden patch since, and it just shot up over the summer after June. Kind of my husband's father, he was on the phone to his own father and showed him videos and photos of it, and his own father back in June said, I've never seen them that big. That has to be a record. And
yeah, like
recently
Like looking at the photograph, it is literally like Jack and the Beanstalk. Like you have all the other regular potato plants which grow fairly close to the ground. So what, first of all, what is the current world record for a tall potato plant?
The current world record was set in 2020 in Belgium and it's 145 centimetres.
Okay, and give it to us. What's grown in Wicklow?
Ours is, and it's a low, it's 260 centimetres and that's a very rough measurement because the bottom stems are all bent. We didn't want to straighten them too much that it, they could snap. So if they were straight, you're easily talking 270, 280 centimetres.
Okay, so like that's close to double the world record.
Yeah.
So you've contacted the Guinness World Records. What, like, what are they saying?
We've contacted them. We put through an application. Applications take 12 weeks to hear back from them and the potatoes have to be harvested by the end of September. So we don't have 12 weeks to wait. There is an option to fast track if you pay €700.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's a bit ridiculous. So even if we don't officially get the title, we know we have grown largest potato plant.
Just the recognition itself. Like it's 700 quid is a lot of money.
Yeah.
For the recognition. But will they do, like, will the Guinness World Records, if once you have photos and videos and that proof, is that good enough for them or do they have to see it in still while it's growing?
I haven't a clue. We don't hear anything back from them, not a single thing back until 12 weeks time. So we've taken loads of videos and loads of videos of measuring from the root up and everything. So we're hoping if they do get back to us and even if the plant isn't living anymore, that we have the proof to show them.
Okay, okay. And come here, why do you think it's grown so big? Like it was part of an overall crop. Why, like it's just kind of become the LeBron James of potatoes or the Michael Jordan. Was there any reason that this one just was on its way?
No, actually the entire crop is like that. That's just one that we decided to grab and attach to a pole to show the actual height of it. The rest of the crop is the same. There could actually be some stems in there that are taller than that one again.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. And any reason as to why then that particular crop are so huge?
No, there's no rhyme or reason to it. We can't really figure out why. Like, but my husband went back to where my father had bought the seeds and asked them, look, has anyone came forward to say they've had exceptionally large potato plants this year or anything? They said, no. And he showed them, they were like, oh my gosh, like...
That is brilliant. Like, this couldn't be your dad, like, having a little joke that he's managed to find some...
Well, it could be. It could, you know.
And I am sorry to hear about your dad here. How are you guys all coping? Because it's still very recent if he only passed away last May.
He only passed away just May gone, just 3 months back. It's been very, very difficult. Him and my mother were together 35 years and they'd only got married the year previous. Because he had lost so many friends to COVID. And so they were out on their wedding anniversary, out on holiday, and he just passed away on holiday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But they had been together for 35 years and they got married only last year.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty special.
Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, condolences again. I'm sorry. Obviously, it's still such a huge loss. And, you know, your dad was green fingered. And would you say that it sounds like your husband has green fingers as well? Are you into it yourself?
No, I don't have as much as luck as the two of them. Just like both my dad and Igor seems to grow anything I attempt and it will wither and die within a week.
You're a bit like myself then. But do you, most of the stuff that you grow, is it like, you know, would you grow most of your own fruit and veg? Like, are you pretty self-sufficient when it comes to that?
Yeah, absolutely. In this household, we only go out to buy meat. Everything else is home grown. We just pick from the garden, from potatoes, tomatoes, onions, everything.
Wow, that's pretty special. Well, listen, keep us posted on what happens. I think you're right to keep the €700. And I think Paul Merriman, who's going to be in a bit later on, financial advisor, I think he would probably say the same as well. And listen, if the Guinness Book of Records come back to you, let us know.
We will do, yeah.
All right, Ciara, lovely chatting to you today.
And you.
Nice chat to you. Have a lovely afternoon. All right, that was Ciara Devlin in Wicklow. Let's get a bit of music. This is First Aid Kit, Out of My Head.
Back in time, oh, I go wandering through the rooms of my mind. Every door that I've been closing, all the people that I have let down on a river, I'm floating down the street and back again like a beggar on my knees.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We were talking earlier about the odd things that we found in our house, or the strangest things that we found. I don't know, does this count as one listener, but I was doing up my father's house and I found a signature on the window shutters from 1897. Wow. And no one ever noticed it until I took them off. Also found a box of cigarettes behind a press from the 1950s. Wow, that's kind of exciting. Grania says, Catherine, I emptied the contents of that drawer straight into a bin bag 6 weeks ago and left it by the back door pending dumping. In 6 weeks, neither my husband or myself have felt the need to look for anything in that bag. All the just in case stuff we might need. Next week, it's off to the dump and I won't be looking inside. Maybe that's good advice, Grania. Like it. OK, keep them coming in. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, this week, internet bank Revolut introduced a range of new features to their junior banking platform, from emojis and card colours to new allowances around online payments. It is a very different world out there to the old post office books that we had for our communion money. And we wanted to learn a bit more about modern junior banking. So here with me in studio is financial planner and founder of AskPaul.ie, Paul Merriman. Good to see you, sir. How are you keeping?
Oh, I'm great, thanks. Likewise. Thanks for having me in.
Well, listen, let's start with the obvious question. Like, how much do our kids really need to know about money?
Oh, they need to know a lot about money. They need to know an awful lot about money.
Really?
Especially your kids will have already developed their money habits by just six, research will show. So by the time they're six, they've watched their parents' habits, their eldest siblings' habits. And yeah, they have them instilled in them. So it's very important that you get your kids very early about the very basics of money.
Yeah.
Not looking to get them the stocks and shares, but just about saving a little bit of cash, or they're doing chores around the house, maybe getting a little bit of pocket money, saving a very small proportion and enjoying spending the rest of it.
And here,
all you have to do.
I'm jumping straight ahead, but you mentioned cash there, right?
Yeah.
And my little one I think it was Thursday or Friday, she said, can I go to the shop with the card?
Yeah.
I need to buy, you know, can I have the card?
Yeah.
I want to tap the card.
Yeah.
Well, so like cash is becoming less visible in our houses.
It is. It's becoming death nearly. It's not going to be around for much longer, and kids are definitely picking up and looking at you tapping.
Yeah.
And looking at you using your card everywhere you go. So like I said, I think you should probably start off with a little bit of cash to get them used to having the money in their hands.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing that even adults struggle about these days, is tapping their card
that's
everywhere.
That's what we were saying earlier. Yeah. Like, we're all tap dancing around.
Yeah. As you say. And then you get to your bank and you've no money, you wonder where it's gone. And we find this with clients who are doing actually mortgage, when they're going for mortgage, they print off your 6-month statements and they're printing off pages upon pages upon pages, because it's just tap, 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 tap. But yeah, for kids, think, give them cash, whether it's €5 or a couple of €, whatever you're going to give them, and encourage them to put €1 aside or €2 aside into a jar in the house. A Pringles jar is actually quite cool if you get a little slot at the top of it. You don't even buy a jar, just use a Pringles tub. And yeah, get them to put a little bit of money in, then at the end of the month or the end of the summer holidays or the end of Easter or whatever you're going to do, get them to buy something they want. And that's really all you're trying to get into kids' heads from a very young age. Okay. A little bit of money aside and get the boy something, a little bit of money aside. But it's important to learn to enjoy money as well. And money shouldn't be stressful. It should be something that, you know, enhances your life. You're not supposed to be panicking about money, or, you know, but probably do if you don't manage it correctly.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to manage it correct from your own age are really good at it.
And I think the spending, saving thing is good, and it's interesting because it puts, so you put the sort of power in their hands.
Yeah.
So whether it's pocket money once a week, they decide, do they decide how much to they save decide, and how much to spend?
Yeah, I think you get them to try and save. Like, I mean, you're looking at maybe 10 or 20%. So, you know, if it's a 10 or maybe 1 or 2 quid put aside, it doesn't have to be huge amounts of money. It's the habit you're looking for.
Yeah.
And them understanding that in 10 weeks they'll have X amount of money left.
So rather than going to the shop and spending it all, yeah, you can get something big
exactly
in 10 weeks
and
time.
Let them spend it on what they want as well, within reason, obviously. But yeah, I think a lot of kids these as well, they're looking for, you know, the likes of the gaming apps as well. We're looking for your car to try and buy credits on games and trying to buy different skins on various different games as well, and the Xbox, etc. They're already getting used to spending nearly like a digital or a cryptocurrency. They're already used to spending coins and spending tokens online as well. So they're so far ahead of their parents already. But like I said, if you try and get a little bit of cash and a little bit of a save and habit into them from as young as possible, you're on a winning streak.
Okay, we're going to talk about junior account options in a minute. But when you say allowance, do you mean like pocket money once a week? What would you advise?
I think so. We have on the Ask Paul the website and the Instagram page, you have these save and chore charts that you can download. So you can get a chore chart and get your kids to fill it in. And might put €1 down for it, maybe hoovering or €2, whatever you're going to do, and try and do it with them and say, right, if you can do 3 or 4 chores a week, you're going to get X amount.
So you believe in rewards.
Yeah, just the rewards part rather than as just get them to maybe, like I said, it's about sitting down with them with the chore chart or filling in, right, this is €3, that's €5, whatever it is, and over the course of a week you're going to pick up €10 for doing the very basic of chores, or even helping the parents around the house. I think that's a really good idea because it gets everybody involved. But again, you're talking about the reward for money, because let's not forget, that's how we all get money. It's a reward for time or your skills.
Yes.
So letting them know that from a very young age is no harm whatsoever. And obviously, the bigger the chore, the more time they spend at the chore, the little bit more they get. And you might be thinking where you might, there's savings charts or chore charts from different ages as well. You might get them to see what they're going to be able to do when they're 7 or 8 or 9. So, you know, they're getting building up to kind of progress and through.
I like that.
But it's all very, very basic stuff. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be friendly. It's not supposed to be about hard graft in relation to getting the kids slaving around the house for a bit of money. It's just about trying to build up that habit of getting paid and keeping a little bit of that money for future. That's all it is. Like I said, nice and friendly. But yeah, definitely the reward thing.
Okay, so let's talk junior accounts. I know we're going to speak about the internet and fintech banks.
Yes.
So remind us quickly what they are.
Okay, fintech. So fintech, you're going to look at basically Revolut or the likes of N26, and a lot of banks have moved that way. So even if you're using, I use Bank of Ireland app nearly every day, so that's a fintech, it's the app you're using. So it's financial technology that makes it easier for you to manage your money. Revolut is probably the biggest one out there that we all know and probably use. There's only 2 million users in Ireland. And 400,000 kid accounts or junior accounts, which is
already
a staggering amount.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've really hit the ground running here. They're a big threat to the Irish banks. But yeah, that's what fintech would be. It's making technology and finance put together to make it easier for people to use money, spend it and, you know, transfer it around. But I think everyone's heard the term now, Revolut me. So,
yeah,
you know, if you're out in the pool, you're out in a restaurant, just Revolut me, or someone's birthday or someone's saying for a stags or a hens. People always say Revolut me this, and it's a common term.
And does the N26
years.
Does that have the same capacity?
It does have the same capacity, but it hasn't got the same users. So you need the users. This is what Revolut have really hit the ground running here, because everyone practically nearly has a Revolut account.
Yeah.
So it's even easy for the transfer
money. Even I got on the scene about 2 months ago.
Yeah. and even my parents. So everybody, like I said, they've really done a good job.
Well, it was my dad said to me for the last year, he's like, "Are you not on Revolut yet?" But I had to eventually get there.
Isn't that crazy though? You have to give it to Revolut. They've done an amazing job of getting this into people's back pockets or into their phones, and now it's a common term you hear all the time. And that's what they've done with the junior account. If you mentioned that, you're on a few of the things they've done with the junior account, the under 18 account. Yeah, but one of them is the facility to Revolut me. It's actually a thing you tap now, Revolut me. So they're bringing that terminology into the app as well. So marketing genius has done really, really well. But there's service issues with them, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, there's
well, talk to me then about the main perks of Revolut or using these junior online accounts.
I mean, the main perks is that,
particularly for kids.
Yeah, for kids. So the first thing you need to do is as a parent, you need to have a Revolut account to get your kids on the junior account. Now, if you go up to the Revolut, have different tiers. You have a free system, then it goes to $2.99, $7.99, and €14. If you go up to a €14 account for yourself as a parent, you can have up to 5 kids on it for free then. But you're paying, you know, nearly €15 a month for it. But the main thing is that you have your main account and then you have your kids' Revolut. You can track what they're spending. You can send them money. They can send you money. And the big thing here is
but
tracking where
they're full authority of they their
have
own spending.
Yeah, they have full authority. Okay. But you can block as well certain limits and set up certain restrictions on the account, which isn't a bad idea as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now with grandparents, like I said, if my own parents are on, you mentioned your own dad. So, you know, even for them to send money to the kids, they're probably going to get it through Revolut. But it has to go through the parents' account as well. So you see what the kids are being transferred as well. So there's a good lot of security on it for parents that are worried about kids having access to cards and how they're spending. So you'd probably have to give them a 10 out of 10 for that level of security around them for people. But after that then, I mean, they go from age 16 to 17 years of age or a junior, but they've done really clever here. The kids can design their own cards, you know, so they can pick the colour is yellow, you can put emoji on it, you can put text on it, you can do what you want that comes out in the post. They've created a little bit of excitement, but Revolut are great at doing this. It is with the metal card. So a metal card for Revolut is like 15 quid a month almost. But I see so many people have a metal card, they don't even know to pay 15 quid a month for it. Like, it's a waste of money in my opinion.
Oh, you actually have to pay to have
the particular
card.
The metal card.
15 quid a month?
Yeah, but you get benefits. But the benefits, nobody uses them. They're like airport access lounges around the world. It's free travel insurance, which you probably have in your health insurance anyway, maybe, or somewhere else. So it was a gimmick in my opinion. I mean, they had nearly 1 million people on the waiting list for these metal cards to come out at one stage. So again, this is about 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a really good market ploy. They've done this now for the kids' accounts. But yeah, they get to put emojis on them, they get to put text on them and really personalise their card. So you can see how kids are going to go for this. And especially if your parents have an online or have a Revolut account already, it's probably the easiest access for people rather than using the main banks.
Okay.
Which, you know, has
and
pros and cons.
What are the downsides then? Are there any downsides that we need
the
to be looking for?
The service is horrendous. I mean, that's my biggest problem with Revolut. I have a Revolut account myself. I got locked out last year. I got kicked out for no reason whatsoever. I couldn't get any customer care, customer support. You hear people say that all the time. So sometimes free and cheap means a really bad service to people. So you often hear people getting locked out of Revolut account, can't access their money, can't get customer service because they don't have a presence. It's all online. And you know, if you've got 2 million customers and 400,000 kids' accounts, you need a lot of staff.
Yes.
I think that's the problem with these fintech technologies. I know on Post have a really good technology as well. But
and so what's the wait time? Sorry to interrupt it. Like if you get locked out, what happens?
Could be weeks, could be months. That's the problem for people.
That's a big issue.
So
essentially would you still advise then to have your main account?
No. Okay. I wouldn't personally now. I wouldn't feel comfortable at this time. From my own experience and experience from clients I've seen as well, a lot of people online, I wouldn't feel comfortable putting my wages in, paying my mortgage out and paying my bills because if it did get shut down or something went wrong or I was locked out, out of the
so that's what I'm saying. So you have, I'd
still
have your
main Bank of Ireland, okay, or whatever bank I use, Bank of Ireland,
and then as your secondary account you have your Revolut.
Yeah, so I think out of 2 million customers, got to be fair, most of those customers from Revolut are using it for that few hundred quid a month. When they're going for a meal, they transfer money to friends, they're not using it for their main account. I think Revolut have a long way to go before that happens, but those 400,000 kids accounts, by the time they get to 18, 20 odd, they'll definitely be using Revolut and whenever that is. So I think that's what Revolut's game plan is. But it's still a really good app and it's cruel for track, but I wouldn't be comfortable holding your main wages in there just in case something went wrong.
And then you know the way when, like, do these accounts follow kids into their teen years?
They do.
Are they working towards that you have you establish a relationship?
Yeah,
and
they
then
do, yeah. And I mean, Bank of Ireland, I remember going to college, I wasn't in college that long now, fair. So I remember I did go to college. I think it was AIB and Bank of Ireland. They all had these student accounts where you got free phone, you got phone credit or whatever it was. They're trying to entice you in because they know you're a customer for life. So Revolut are doing that now. Those 400,000 kids that are under accounts or the under 18s are more than likely going to end up with a senior Revolut account and more than likely use it for their main banking for the rest of their life. So they've done a really good job there, Revolut. But yeah, that's the idea. And the same with Bank of Ireland, AIB, all the Irish banks, the likes of On Post, they have really good junior accounts as well. And they'd be the same. They're trying to get the kids in early to make sure that they're there for customers for life. And the reason is they can give them the free account and then cross-sell them mortgages, you know, okay. Various different financial products.
So if there's somebody out there, you know, we're all heading back to school and you want to set up an account, how easy is it for parents to do this?
Well, look, I have to give Revolut a shout out again here. As I said, they have a big
you
issue
with
for the
Revolut.
Service. No, but in fairness, I'm fair to them. I feel sorry for sometimes I do slaughter them from a service point of view. But if you have got a Revolut account, it's so easy just to open and add on your junior account, to be fair. But you can also, a lot of people are switching from KBC and Ulster Bank maybe as well. So you're probably going to set up a new account with Bank of Ireland AIB or Permanent AIB, whoever you're going to pick, or on Post. The credit union is an option as well. So it's easy to set up kids' accounts when you're going through that process as well. So there's a lot of, it's very easy to set up accounts these days. They all use that same technology where, you know, you take a photograph of yourself and you move your head around like a bit of an idiot for 10 or 15 seconds and they get your biometrics and then they get your passport uploaded. So I think it takes 3 or 4 minutes for most banks now to get you an account set up. But yeah, once that's done, it's easier to set your kids' accounts up from your main account. On Post make this very easy as well. I love On Post from point of view for their kids' accounts. You can set chores in the app for your kids' account and the kids can complete the chore and then get paid through it. So rather than my idea, the cash, they can do it electronic. So On Post have made massive leaps and bounds and they're very much like Revolut. And people will like On Post because there's 900 branches around the country. They're quite accessible. And you mentioned yourself even from back to when you had your communion money, it was typically a post office or was it a credit union for that generation. So I think it's cool what On Post are doing as well. But again, it is fintech, a little bit of issues with service, but I think it's quite good and it's Irish.
Okay, Brendan says, I've never considered my children my employees. I gave them what I could and didn't ask them for anything in return. They've grown up great and are not a bit mean or miserable. Moira says, no, Catherine, they help in the house because it's their home and not for money. Must grow up helping for the sake of helping. Trevor said, I changed my email and can't access it now. It's the one I registered with Revolut and can't change it now. They keep sending me codes on the old email. Help!
Oh yeah, that's a nightmare. Again, that's the problem with fintech sometimes. It can go wrong. When it goes wrong, it's very difficult. So again, if you need to get in touch with customer service and keep hounding them. That's all you can
which
do with Revolut,
like 4 months
which is it's really frustrating.
Another listener, I had wanted to get a few shares from my grandson for his 17th birthday. Was told €200 is not enough to start off.
It is, in fairness. You can start off with as €200 on most investment accounts and life insurance companies. So if the person wants to send us a DM through Ask Paul on Instagram, we can help them with that.
Okay, just topping up my teenage daughter's Revolut as I listen to you. She's in the Canaries with her friends, parents, and I needed to wait until payday to get money to her. It's so handy. Yeah. And that comes in from Lee. So it's the good and the bad. Very quickly, because we've all been listening to it, people who need to change their banks.
Yes.
How urgent is it? If you're leaving KBC or Ulster Bank, how urgent is it?
It's very urgent. Now, the reason it's urgent, and not many people realise this, is the fact that the banks are really struggling with the keeping up with the opening of accounts and services. The banks are getting hammered. They have a lot of remote working staff still since COVID-19. They haven't been able to train new staff efficiently, in my opinion. And I would recommend, if you do switch to a bank, an Irish bank, you do it now as an ASAP, but make sure you look after the responsibility, switch your current account yourself. They said they'd do it for you. I think they're not going to be able to handle that level. And if I wouldn't put it in the hands of somebody in the bank that's been trained the last couple of months to switch my mortgage, because if it doesn't get switched correctly and I miss a mortgage repayment, I'm now going to have a fallout with the central credit registrar and my credit rate is going to be affected. So I'd be taking ownership, give yourself an hour, open the account this week and then sit down and maybe set that account up from the 1st of October and give yourself September in your current account with Ulster Bank or KBC. Mm. And then set up all your direct debits, your payments and your salary from the end of September into October. Yeah. It's not too difficult to do. It's all very logical.
It's just time consuming, but we have to make the time.
But you have to do it and have to make the time, because otherwise the account's going to be shut down. And there's no point, the longer you leave it, the more hassle it's going to be for you and the more stressful it's going to be. Mm. So yeah, I'd be prioritising that pretty quickly.
And we're always told by people like you, look at what's out there, compare, move your mortgage provider, move your
move everything, service providers, your household provider. Just say, if you have
where is a good website to do
the CCPC.ie, the Consumer Protection, is really good, CCPC.ie. Or else the Citizens Information is actually, I think, a little bit even better from a plain English point of view. The Citizens Information is really good for current accounts. Just to mention, if you have an Ulster Bank or a KBC mortgage, you don't actually need to switch it. They're going to transfer them over to Bank of Ireland or Permanent TSB more than likely, so your mortgage just moves with them automatically, but your current account you have to actually manually go and switch yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I've had so many conversations with people who say, I'll do it next week.
It's a long finger.
Yeah, it's putting it on the long finger. We've got to get into it. Do you know what I'm going to play for you now? Bit of Jessie J.
Oh, brilliant.
This is Price Break. Tag.
Coconut Man, Moonheads and P.
51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, now, lads, we have our finances sorted. It's all good. Let's move on to the house because, as we know, we keep saying September is fast approaching. And if you're looking to restore the house to its former glory after months of chaos with the kids at home, then help is at hand here today. Professional organisers. I don't think I'll ever be one of them. Kim and Lynn from Assorted Affair join me now with some great advice. Girls, it's great to see you.
Hello. You too.
To become a professional organiser, do you have to be naturally organised, or is that the stupidest question in
the
world?
No, that's yes. Is the answer.
Yes, that's the stupidest question.
No, yes, that's the answer to your question. I think you just have to be able to see it. Some people can and some people can't. You're like Kim always says, you're either that way inclined or you're not.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like a big giant game of Tetris. Yeah. You take everything out and then you have to make everything fit just right.
Okay.
So you kind of need that brain.
Okay, so ye have five kids between ye.
Yes. Yep.
So are your houses like immaculate all the time?
Well, they have the potential to, yeah. So if you were to call over for a cup of tea, for instance, I could get it back together very quickly.
With a half an hour warning.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
So you're human as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're very busy looking after everyone else's beautiful homes that sometimes slip a little. But, you know, we have the systems in place. We have the boxes with the labels. So, yeah, we can get it like in ship shape very quickly. Okay. But Lynn's brother's forever like threatening to out her.
So I'm going to take to Instagram now and show this kitchen. I've been working for 6 days.
Making everybody else's house perfect.
Yeah, that's it.
So how did you start the business? Like where did the idea come from?
So I worked on an RTE programme called Home Rescue for the last 5 years as a clutter buster.
Yes.
Landed that completely by accident. And last year we were filming and Lynn came on board to replace another girl who I used to work with.
Okay.
And we literally, in the nicest sense, got locked in a room organising together, and genuinely the rest is history. Lynn had already started her own business but on her own, and we just got talking. It was just out the back of COVID and everyone I think was on that mode, weren't they, like where it was kind of like big changes were happening or people were rethinking the route they were going. And I think it was just the best thing that ever happened to us.
Everything just sort of fell into place. It was brilliant. And then we had obviously the whole summer of Home Rescue to plan.
There was a lot of rooms to organise and a
and
lot of
clearly chats. When one organised person meets another organised person and you have like, it's like this beautiful love affair, obviously,
yeah, it is,
between the two of you. And so where did your sort of advice come from? Like, did you have like moms and grandmothers who had all these tips and bits and pieces?
I always say that, like, that some of our biggest tips and tricks that we use would have came from my mom or my auntie or whatever. Like when we were on the TV recently doing, showing how you fold your sheets and how you should put all your sheets into your pillowcase. Like that came from my mom. That wasn't something I thought of. It was just always done in my house.
Right.
So there's loads of tips and tricks that we absolutely would have inherited or picked up from family. And
So you have a full bed set.
So you get the pillowcase and you put your fitted sheet, your duvet cover, your pillowcases, and you pop them all in there. So you just pull one thing.
Yeah. I love the
life changing.
Oh my God.
Life changing.
It's a life hack that I have never heard.
There you go. And it just makes life easier for whoever's changing the beds. They just literally take one thing and they know everything.
And you've got one package for each room.
And everything is in there. It's great for the kids' beds as well, yeah.
Wow, okay. So are there basic rules then that you follow no matter what house you walk into or who the client is? Like, are there kind of the five basics or like how do you start it when you go into somebody's house?
Pull it all apart.
Right.
We literally, doing a kitchen, a wardrobe, a pantry, a shed, anything, you name it. We literally take everything out of every drawer, every corner and display it for you.
Right.
Which can be a bit shocking, especially with wardrobes and stuff, because we all tend to push things to the back. And when you see your 50 or 60 pairs of jeans in front of you, it's a real like, oh, okay, maybe I don't need that.
Okay.
But, you know, you need that visual to be able to see the quantities of the items you have.
Yeah. Because we all have too much.
Yeah, we don't need 10 lasagna dishes or, you know, like, but it's only when you pull them all out of their individual presses where they've been hiding or living that you kind of realise that that's what's taking up all the space and that's why I don't have room, you know?
Yeah.
So definitely taking it all out and confronting the homeowner with this is what you have now, let's start to remove items. So that's when you get into the whole, have you used it? Do you use it? Will you use it? All those kind of questions. Mm-hmm. And then then we also explain to them where the items will go. Like, they're not going in the bin, they're going to get donated, they're going to get sent on to great homes, and that really helps people, I think, let go that bit easier.
Okay. Do you think organisation has become a growing trend in recent years? Because we all look at everybody's house on Instagram and go, how do they have it as tidy as that? And Khloe Kardashian's pantry.
Broke the internet.
I mean, like, it's just like a work of art.
It is. Yeah.
And she has children.
I know. And probably a staff of 20 people fix the pantry on the day.
Yeah.
It is. It's great. Like, it's been amazing, as Lynn always says. It's great for the visual. So it's amazing for you to go, oh my God, isn't that gorgeous? And I'd love to achieve something like that, you know? But it's also a little bit intimidating because it's not real life. You know, that kind
of thing. That's a snapshot of the moment just after it's completed. But it's not about having it pretty and perfect. It's about having it functional for you and for your family and your needs and your day-to-day function. Mm-hmm. That's what we focus on, really. Mm-hmm. Looking pretty is
just different.
And it is good. It is good for the mind. I mean, I'm messy, right? I'm a messy person. And we are going to get into
literally get into your drawers.
Get into my drawers. You're going to get into my drawers. We brought in my drawer there. Everybody has that drawer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we'll get into it in a second. But it's fair to say having a clean mind, having a clean house is good for having a clean mind, isn't
it? Yeah, it really is. Like, we'd often say, you know, you ever hear the analogy when people speak about starting your day off wrong? So you get out of bed, you stub your toe, you spill your coffee, you're in a bad mood, everyone's annoyed, that sort of thing. It's the same with your house. If you're opening your wardrobe and your clothes are falling out at you, you're going to have those, oh, I've nothing to wear, nothing fits me, this is, you know, and your whole day rolls that way. If you go into the kitchen, there's no cereal left. It's about making it practical, making your day start easier, making it flow. It really increases your productivity and your positivity once you just rid yourself of that clutter. It's all unfinished business. Clutter is really at the end of the day.
So how then do we start? Like, where, like, somebody's listening to this, they feel overwhelmed, everything's coming in on top of them, trying to get order on the house. Where do we start?
You need to start small. So, like, fair enough, when myself and Lynn are going into homes, we're going to take it all out.
Yeah, don't do what we do.
Don't do that.
Is it like one drawer at a time, one room at a time?
Yeah, even drawer at a time is manageable. Like, if you can do even one kitchen press a week, you know.
Or by items. So if you say, okay, I'm going to look at my mugs, I'll take out all my mugs and we'll go through them, which are chipped, which I don't use, that sort of thing. Same then with your glasses, same with your cutlery, your tea towels. You know what I mean? Just pick something, whether it be an area or an item, and slowly and you'll get there.
Okay, what about something like a playroom? Because that's, you know, how do we get the kids to help and get involved? I was chatting to Paul earlier, Paul Merriman, about I suppose giving kids responsibilities. Is that the same in terms of tidying up?
Absolutely. And then, to be honest, a lot of the playrooms that we go into, I think it's the same in every house. There is just so much stuff, whether it be it's come in the door from gifts or they've picked it up with their pocket money, maybe. So control that. But if the kids have too much and if the playroom is overwhelming, they're not going to enjoy being in there. They're not going to want to play in there. Loads of people tell us, I have a playroom full of toys, but the kids won't go in there. And we can see why sometimes, because there's just too much. So definitely minimise. Definitely, if brand new stuff come in the door and you don't think they're going to be used, get them up to the attic and use them at a later date. And if something's coming in, maybe rule for toys, maybe one in, two out, I would say, you know, and try and make it a nice environment for them to play in. Because if it's overwhelmed, they're going to get overwhelmed. They can't get the brains going. They can't get their, you know, their creative juices going.
Okay. I brought in my messy drawer. I said it. I think somebody, Kieran, has taken a photograph of it.
Yeah, it's gone out to the world.
Tell me what it says about me.
It says that you are a busy mom.
Yes, exactly.
Because we have batteries and sun cream and toothbrushes.
We have some chills mixed with super glue, a rattle. Some sun cream.
I don't even know what that tool is.
I don't know what it is either.
No, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
What is that?
I think it's for putting a
hole. Hold it up there to the lads.
Is it for putting a hole in your belt?
Oh, it's putting a hole. Yes, it's to put a hole in your belt.
I mean, that's what you need in your top drawer. I mean, it's appropriate.
I asked
for
himself
the
to do this last night. I told him, "Will you put that drawer, kitchen drawer, in the car?" And I think he thought I was going to take it to the dump or whatever.
Probably.
And then I said, "No, it's for work." He said, "I'm not even going to ask. I'm just not even going to ask."
Yeah.
So where do I start with that?
We would just tip it all out, to be honest, and then kind of group all the light. You've batteries in here, brilliant. Yeah, but we don't know if they're used or you know, fresh or whatever. You've got cables in there, brilliant. They do need to be to hand, but they should all be just together. So like, whether it be just sit in a little cardboard box, a couple of cardboard boxes in there, or some organisers in there, and just separating out the items. Mm-hmm. And then at least when it starts to get messy, it's easy just to put the things back together.
Okay.
But there's also things like that should not be living in here, like the belt hole thing.
Yeah. The nappy bag.
A few tools.
You never know. The broken. And also the bubbles on the nail polish, we call them contraband. They need to be up high and out of reach.
Okay.
You imagine if someone gets hold of those nail polishes, your house could look very different very quickly.
Oh. But that's the drawer. You haven't seen the rest of the house.
We're on the way.
Very quickly, let's talk back to school tips. So how can we get uniforms a little more organised so you're not having that stress first thing on the 1st of September?
My favourite thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I bought in Mr Price, they have, you know, the plastic towers that you see. Usually people use them for playrooms. They're just plastic frame,
clear
drawers. So I label them Monday to Friday. So the
kids... Do you have a labeller?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Of course you do.
Multiples. But yeah, I label them Monday to Friday. Well, actually, my daughter does it. She draws them herself, sticks her labels on, and then we have the uniform. So my kids do 3 days in a uniform, 2 days in a tracksuit. So then they know which day is which. Put their knickers, socks, everything the whole way down on a Sunday evening. And then when they're taking off their uniform, when they get in from school, they put it in the next day's box.
Yeah.
So on a Sunday, while you're putting all your clothes away, just build your tower, and they know exactly. You don't get any of the, "I've no socks, like there's no knickers left, there's no, I don't know where my jumper is." Everything is exactly
drawers.
Where it should be.
Brilliant. Where does one get a labeller?
Oh, at Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon or Aldi usually have them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
You need one.
Or let your kids get creative.
Yeah. Kim and Lynn, and I now know what to do with my sheets and pillowcases. Thank you so much. All right, let's take a quick break. A listener has texted in, "Hey Catherine, I was clearing out the drawers in my son's old room and found the pregnancy test I took over 33 years ago and it still had the two blue lines on it. We had some fun showing it to him." Oh, I absolutely love that. That's brilliant. All right, now it is time for this. Yes, we are reeling in the years. We have two people ready to battle it out. Brenda and Michael are on the line, and we have gathered up sounds, songs, news reports, TV shows and movies from over the years and decades. And the guys are going to be playing for a luxurious two-night break in the Heritage Hotel, where they will enjoy breakfast on each morning and a dinner on one evening in the award-winning Blake's Restaurant. The Heritage is in Killinard, County Leash, just over an hour's drive from Dublin, and it is the perfect base for discovering Ireland's ancient East. You've got the country estates like Emo Court, you've trails in the Slieve Blooms, retail therapy in Kildare Village, and if you don't even fancy leaving the hotel, you've the health club, the spa, afternoon tea, and they've got their own cinema there as well. So check them out. Theheritage.com is the email address. And the question we asked was, what runaway relative of a kangaroo was found in County Tyrone after 2 days on the run? The answer, of course, is a wallaby. Two people to get that right, Brenda McNamee and Michael Grant. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, how
good
are you?
Good afternoon, Catherine. How are you? Good.
Very good. Very good, guys. Michael, I'll come to you in a sec because, Brenda, you are player number one. How is your day going today? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Granard, County Longford today, Catherine.
Good, good, good. And what's going on? Is the sun shining up there?
It's cloudy, but it's very heavy. It's a mild day. It's heavy but cloudy.
Heavy but cloudy. And are you off? Have you been at work?
I'm off. Myself and my partner run a pub in Granard, and I'm off for a few hours this afternoon before I go back in for the evening shift.
Very good, very good. And how's the pub business going for you?
It's actually going quite well. We'd be a day pub in Granard, and so we have a great day trade. A lot of the old guys come in and we have the chats, and we put things to rights, and we have generally good fun.
Brilliant, brilliant. You have two dogs as well, they tell me.
I have Twiggy, who's an Italian greyhound. We imported her from Russia about 3 years ago.
Oh.
And we have Lucy, who's our little dachshund, a little sausage dog. So
brilliant.
They're the ones who keep us company in the evening.
Brilliant. So Mel is a farmer. So between farming and having a pub, you definitely need a few days away.
A break.
Yeah, yes, definitely need a break.
He's away now at a sheep mart today in from Shamble.
Okay, okay. Mm. Well, listen, that'd be nice to be able to pick up the phone and go, listen, off to Laois.
Yes, it would.
All right, Brenda, best of luck. Hang on the line, Catherine. Michael, how are you this morning, or how are you this afternoon?
I'm very good, Catherine. Yourself?
I am really good. Where are you calling from in Donegal?
I'm calling from lovely Buncrana.
Oh, lovely part of the world. I spent a bit of time up there last summer. Yeah, beautiful. And what's going on today? Are you working? Are you off?
Oh, I'm at work here. I work for a kitchen company up in just up the road from Buncrana in Lisfannan.
Lovely. And who's at home?
My wife and daughter are at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife Josephine and my daughter Raisa.
Oh, Raisa. Beautiful name.
Yes.
Raisa. How do you spell that?
R-A-I-S-S-A.
Raisa.
It's the Russian for Teresa.
Oh, fabulous.
To make it easy, yeah.
Very good, very good. Okay, so you could do with a holiday as well, by all accounts.
I think we could all do with a holiday, surely, but after COVID. So, we're all ready for a break.
All right. Well, listen, it is Michael and Brenda. Do you want to wish each other the best of luck, lads?
Best of luck, Michael.
Best of luck, Brenda. Good to talk to you.
Okay, Brenda, you are player number one. Now, the year is 2007. Okay, so have a little think about that. You can take a long clip or a short clip. The long clip will get you 1 point. The short clip will get you 2 points. And we're going to start with a telly question. So what do you reckon?
We go short.
Go short for 2 points. All right, Brenda. Airing its final episode in 2007, can you name this Californian teen drama starring Misha Barton and Adam Brody?
California, here we come. Right back where we started from.
Ooh. What do you think, Brenda?
No clue.
Not a clue? No. All right, it was The OC. That's the theme tune for The OC. That's what we were looking for. First aired in 2003. The last episode aired in 2007. Okay, hard luck, but you are still very much in the game. Michael, back to you. What do you reckon 2007 is the year? Do you want to go long and short with your TV question?
I don't watch much TV, so I might as well go short, because long's probably as hard as the short.
Okay. I like your thinking. Okay, for 2 points. Also in teens on television, can you name this secret-sharing show starring Blake Lively, which aired its first episode in 2007?
Was it only a year ago our It Girl mysteriously disappeared for, quote, boarding school?
What do you think, Michael?
Not a clue, but let me
have a guess.
Not a clue.
Okay, don't worry. It was Gossip Girl. That is what we were looking for. Okay, Brenda, we're back to you. This is music in 2007. What do you reckon, long or short?
Oh, when they go long, I think 2007 isn't my year.
Okay, play it safe. Let's have a listen. Having hosted this year's Eurovision in Italy, can you name the song or the singer?
How can I help it? How can I help it? How can I help it? What you think? Hello, my baby. Hello, my baby. Putting my life on my brink. Why don't you like me? Why don't you like me? Why don't you like yourself? Should I bet over? Should I have gold just to be put on your shelf?
All right. What do you reckon? Hosted this year's Eurovision in Italy. So we'll take the song or the singer. Any clue,
no.
Brenda?
No.
Okay.
No,
hard
no,
luck.
No.
That was Mika. That was Grace Kelly was the name of the song. Okay. Don't worry, Michael. Back to you. Do you want to go long and short with music?
I'll just go short as well.
Okay.
Just
2 points.
Give everybody a good chance.
Okay. Now, with two number one singles in the year, can you name this song or the X Factor winning artist who performed it?
So tell me that you don't think I'm crazy.
No not an ocean. Never watched X Factor.
All right. Well, listen, at least you're honest. Leona Lewis is who we were looking for there, and the song was Moments Like This. Leona won the third series of the X Factor. So
good for her. Yeah.
No use to you, Michael.
Sorry.
Okay, Brenda, you are still both very much in the game. So this is your news question. It is the final question. What do you reckon, long or short?
Oh, we may go long, Catherine.
Okay. All right. You want to go out with 1 point, whatever happens. Okay. 2007 was a big year for Irish golf. Can you name this man who won the British Open?
Earlier, he had fulfilled a busy morning of engagements in Scotland at Carnoustie, scene of his greatest ever triumph. As the hastily assembled media scrum awaited, the 35-year-old Dubliner then appeared, holding the coveted claret jug in his hand and accompanied by his wife Caroline and son Paddy.
Right, Brenda, are you into golf?
No.
Oh dear! This is not going well at all for you, unfortunately. Michael, do you know it? Don't shout it if you do. Don't shout it. Okay, say nothing. Say nothing. Brenda, give it a guess.
I can't. I can only just pick Park Harrington. It's the only one I know.
Correct. Yay! Brenda, by the skin of your teeth.
Skin of my teeth.
There you go. Listen, we have 1 point on the board. Now, Michael, what way are you going to play this? Because you can go long and hope for a tiebreaker, or you can try and nail this now, and if you go short and you get it right, you'll be the winner today. What do you think?
Your life's too short, so we'll go short.
All right. Here we go. Okay, this is in the news 2007. The Six Nations Championship match between Ireland and France in 2007 was historic, but mostly because of its venue. Listen to this news clip and see if you can tell me what venue was used for rugby for the first time.
And the GAA will be getting over 1 million in rent. And because of the 82,000 seat capacity, more supporters can see the game.
Michael, what was the venue?
Sorry. Crook Park, I played there.
Well done, Michael. Super. Well done, Michael.
We have a winner. You were just pipped to the post, Brenda, unfortunately. Yeah. It took you a while to get there, lads, but you know what? We got there in the end.
Hard luck, Brenda. Well done.
Michael, well done. Enjoy your trip.
And good luck in your pub in Kilnard.
Thank you very much. Yeah, in Granard. Thanks a million.
In Granard even, yeah. I'll call on to see you sometime there.
Do.
Oh, that's lovely. All right, Brenda, we're going to send you 2 Ray Darcy Show mugs up to Granard. Have a lovely afternoon. And Michael, that means you are off to the Heritage Hotel in Laois. Who are you going to take with you?
I am going to take my beautiful wife of my partner of 40 years for a weekend away.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you both deserve it. Have
Looking
a wonderful two nights. It'll be a lovely break away for the two of you. So enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine. It's a pleasure talking to you.
You too, Michael. Have a lovely afternoon.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, a listener has texted in here. I'm doing a garage clear out as you talk of the amount of stuff we hoard. Oh my God, so many gift bags and shopping bags. They will all go to charity shops and boy, they love to get them. Please ask people to donate to a charity shop or clothes bins rather than using landfill. Someone somewhere will use your unwanted clothes or bric-a-brac. We all agree with that. Okay, now our next guest stars in a musical like no other. Bat Out of Hell, the musical. It has flames, it has motorcycles, it has loads of glitter. This production is absolutely armed to the teeth with Meatloaf power ballads. I'll be chatting to leading cast member Sharon Sexton in just a moment. But first, let's get some Meatloaf magic.
Screaming and the fires are howling way down in the valley tonight. There's a man in the shadows with a gun in his eye and a blade shining no so bright. There's evil in the air and there's thunder in the sky and a killer's on the bloodshot streets. On down in the tunnel with a deadly horizon. Oh, I swear I saw a young boy down in the gutter. He was starting to foam in the heat. Oh, baby, you're the only thing in this whole world that's pure and good and right. And wherever you are and wherever you go, there's always gonna be some light. But I gotta get out, I gotta break it out now before the final.
So we gotta make the most of our one night together. When it's over, you know we'll both be so alone.
There it is. The Meatloaf Man himself, Bat Out of Hell, the musical. It is coming to Dublin and I have Sharon Sexton on the phone. Good afternoon, Sharon.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, listen, it's lovely to chat to you. Were you bopping along there?
I was, yeah. I can sing that in my sleep now at this stage. I love that song so much. It's brilliant.
Oh, I mean, you just reminded when you listen to something like that song, how powerful a singer he was. I mean, his range was phenomenal, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. He had a 3-octave range, which is pretty impressive. And we sing these songs every night in the show and they're all epic, massive rock songs or ballads. And, you know, they're spread out amongst our very talented cast. But when you think that somebody like Meatloaf used to sing them all in one night, it's pretty awesome.
It is. It is. So tell us about the production itself. Like, you've been with it since the start, right?
Yeah, that's right. So the production was actually, what a lot of people don't know about Bat Out of Hell is that it was originally always supposed to be a musical for the stage. That's how Jim Steinman always envisioned it. And nobody would make it back 40 years ago. So they ended up saying, well, why don't we just put these songs in an album? And that became Bat Out of Hell, the album that became hugely successful all around the world. So it took 40 years before I think he found the right creative people he wanted to work with to finally put this show on the stage. And fate just meant that I was there at the time of casting. So I got to create the character of Sloane, which I play in the show. And that was back in 2017.
Wow.
So it's been a long time coming since we've managed to get it to Dublin.
And in that time, Meatloaf passed away. Like, he passed away last year, right? And then Jim Steinman.
Yeah, he also passed away the year before. So it's wonderful for us that I suppose his dream was realised, you know, and that they actually both got to see the show. And since their passing, obviously, everything means a little bit more to us as a company on stage because you want to keep that legacy alive. And what's wonderful about this music is that it's found a whole new generation of fans now with the show, you know. So, it's the kind of music that is really timeless. That's what's so great when you see out, you look out in the audience and there's all these older people and parents who have brought their kids along, and there's something in the show for everybody. So they are all discovering or rediscovering this music together.
Mm. And I mean, what a dream come true for somebody like Jim Steinman, trying to get it on stage for as long as he was, and then being able to work on it. Like, you obviously got to meet him then, did you, if you've been involved for that long?
Yeah, I did. And he would watch all of our rehearsals back before FaceTime or Zoom was a thing, because back in 2017, I think we were all still Skyping. And Jim would be on Skype, and like, he was such a genius of a character. You know, some days he would come in and he would be on the screen and he'd be in a Darth Vader mask. He would just have like the most bizarre ideas that, you know, he would it, like, that's why Bad Out of Hell, I think, is such a special show, because it's just so off the wall and crazy. You know, Jim would say, now I want the lead character to, like, take a chainsaw out, and I want the stage to burst into flames, and I want the car to appear, or for the bike to explode. And luckily, we have the most amazing team of special effect artists who've worked with us on the show. But, you know, he really thought outside the boxes. And you can even see that with, like, the old music videos for Meatloaf as well. They're all so epic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the stage production definitely tries to kind of pay homage to all of that.
And I mean, people say now that sometimes, you know, music, like songs, they're so short. Like Jim's, like, they loved a long song, didn't they?
Yeah, completely. I mean, Jim always said if it wasn't under 6 minutes, or if it wasn't a real song, if it wasn't over six minutes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And when you look at Anything for Love as well, like, I mean, again, it's like a little song. Opera, that song. Yeah.
And I mean, I've watched the trailer for the show. I can't wait to see it. It's coming to the Bord Gáis Theatre. It's on from the 30th of August till the 10th of September. And it just looks wild. Like, it's played all over the world at this point. Which shows have you done, Sharon? Have you just mostly been in Europe? Have you done the States as well?
No, I was lucky enough to get to go to Canada with it as well. And we sat down there for 4 months, and we've been in London and the Coliseum, and we opened in Manchester, and now we're to bring it to Dublin. It's always been something I wanted to do. So I'm so delighted. I think Irish audiences are going to absolutely love it as well. It's such a good night out, and it's kind of what we all need now, you know, because obviously after the last couple of years as well, live theatre has taken a bit of a beating. It's been tough. And now when we go in and we play to these packed houses, you just feel that electricity that you don't get anywhere else. And Bad Out of Hell is the perfect show for that kind of just pure escapism. Mm.
And I'd imagine, because it's such a wild show, you've got so much going on. And then with that music rocking through it as well, have you got people in the audience dancing and other people sitting enjoying it? And like, is it a real mixed bag?
Yeah. Yeah, completely. It is a real mixed bag. And what's lovely is, like, there is actually a real heart to the storyline as well.
Well, tell us about the storyline.
Well, I play the role of the mum, and basically myself and my partner Rob Fowler play Falco and Sloan, and we are the parents. And
so, sorry, Rob Fowler is your real life partner.
Yes, that's right. Okay. And we're lucky enough that we get to work with each other on stage as well. So we play mum and dad to Raven. And Raven is our precious pride and joy. And we kind of want to keep her safe and locked up because the world has kind of fallen apart. Now, pre-pandemic, this plot line sounded kind of off the wall. But since the pandemic, it kind of makes a lot more sense.
Wow.
So there's like the gang, which is the lost, and Raven wants to get out in the streets and run, kind of go and find herself. And Sloan and Falco are left kind of looking at each other going, you know, what do we do? And it's so there's a real family kind of at the heart of the piece, which kind of means, that's what I'm saying, there's something for everybody. You've got all the youngsters who are identifying with that person that's trying to break free and turn 18 and find their own path. And then you've got the older parents generation where, you know, they're at that age where their little daughter has kind of flown the nest, and they're sat looking at each other going, who are we again?
Yes.
Oh, you know, we used to be like that once. So, it's such a lovely story. I'd say kind of Peter Pan meets Romeo and Juliet is kind of how people describe it.
Okay, interesting. And I mean, in terms of touring the show and traveling with the show, and I mean, because it's intense. I'd imagine physically it's quite intense to perform this show because it just doesn't stop for a minute.
No, it doesn't. It's like the opening scene is the kind of thing I think where people often say to me, I could watch it 20 times, and you could, and you'll see a different show. There's so much going on. So you definitely do need stamina. But at the same time, the music just gives you that energy, you know? I mean, even listening to that track, Bad Out of Hell, like you said, I'm bopping along to it here before. Yeah. I talk to you and I hear it every night. It's just, the music is magic. It just does something to you. So, I think people kind of leave the show feeling themselves and the audience a little bit exhausted, but just exhilarated as well.
Yeah. And you have just, am I right in saying, did you have a little baba a few weeks ago, 10 weeks ago?
I did.
Congratulations. So are you just back in action, or?
I'm literally just back in action because I seen the touring schedule and I saw it was coming to Dublin and I just went, there is no way I am missing that.
Oh.
So the team in the show have been great, and they were like, well, look, you know, if you want to come back. And I was like, I am there with bells on. So, and bless him, he's only 10 weeks old, but I can tell you he absolutely recognizes that music as well.
Isn't
I think he's going to be a little rocker.
And does he go to theatre with you then? And
He does sometimes, but at the moment as well, it's lovely because I'm starting back at home, which means I'm surrounded with like lots of family.
You have loads of hands.
So exactly, lots of hands, and he's been well taken care of. So it's a real homecoming for me in more ways than one, obviously, you know, bringing the show to Dublin and also bringing this little man to meet all of his Irish family. So it's been actually such a lovely few days here already.
Well, listen, lovely to chat to you, and enjoy your time at home. Enjoy performing in front of an Irish audience, because it sounds, and I know I get it from you, that
they're
so
the best audiences
of
in
course,
the world. Come on,
of
they
course.
Are. I'm telling everybody, and I'm like, just you wait till we get to Dublin.
I'm just going to sign off on the show here. Lovely to talk to you, Sharon. I'm going to sign off on the show. We might just sneak in a little bit of Meatloaf towards the end. Stay tuned, because Sarah is next on Drive Time, and I will be back tomorrow. Have a fab afternoon. And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back. I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact. But I'll never forget the way you feel right now. And I would do anything for love. Oh, I would do anything for love. I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. No, I won't. It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.